You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome to Spill and Dish, a new podcast from the Specialty Food Association. Founded in 1952, SFA is the leading trade association and source of information about the $175 billion specialty food industry. We champion the food producers, retailers, and other buyers who make up the specialty food world. If you want to know more about membership, visit specialtyfood.com. In each episode, we want to share the stories behind the products made and sold by our members, who are helping shape the future of food. You can listen and discover the inspiration, recipe, craft, culture, ingredients, and production methods that help answer the question, what makes specialty food special? I'm today's host, Megan Rooney, Program Development Manager at SFA. We're excited to bring you today's episode and so happy to be working with Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit podcast network covering the world of food, drink, and agriculture, and expanding the way eaters think about food. Today's guest is David Schmunk, founder and managing director of African Dream Foods, a purpose-driven fair trade company that crafts socially conscious hot sauces and spices in order to deliver authentic flavor and promote wildlife conservation. David is the recipient of the 2023 SFA Leadership Award for Emerging Leader. Congrats and welcome to Spill and Dish, David.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So can you tell us what African Dream Foods produces?
So we have right now 8 flavors of hot sauces, and not all of them are hot. Some of them are just for the main market. One's a barbecue sauce, one's a sweet sauce. And then we have a couple of fermented sauces that are kind of in the same flavor profile as like a Tabasco. We call them like our Habanasco and our Jalanasco. And then we have a couple of peri-peri sauces. And we have a bird's eye chili sauce and an African ghost. And then we also have 3 seasonings, actually 3 spicy salts and 1 seasoning. So 4 of them are like sea salt mixed with a pepper of its own. So it's our initial lineup. That's what we launched with. In the future, we are going to have other products that we're working on now. But I think we wanted to test the hot sauce market because it's like, it's such a niche market, and it's kind of a big community. Everyone's, I think, rooting for each other, and it's kind of like the more hot sauce companies there are, I feel like it kind of grows the whole industry of the hot sauce enthusiasts. You know, it's kind of like a craft beer. You know, if you're into craft beer, you'll try a bunch of them. You're not just going to drink like one beer. And with hot sauce, I think it's the same. And we just want to kind of bring the flavors of Africa and show the world what Africa has to offer with these sauces, and then hopefully with future products.
Great, yeah. That sounds like a really wide range of flavors for a launch. So
yeah,
well done.
It'd be so much easier to have just like one hot sauce that you just kind of promote, but there's different, heat tolerances out there and different like flavor preference. Some people love the vinegary hot sauces. Some people like the savory hot sauces, and some people can only take like, and we have a scale on our label. Some people can literally take like a 3 out of 10, and that's all they can handle. Mm-hmm. And some people eat the ghost pepper that we have, and it's like, yeah, it's okay. So we want to stick in the range. We're not trying to like hurt people with like the hottest, and we don't want to make it like impossible for people to try. So we just want kind of everybody to try sauces, and I guess introduce more people to the condiments, you know, putting different condiments instead of like ketchup and different sauces based on what you're eating and stuff. So I think we had to go with a big range, and like we want to do more sauces as well, but I feel like it'd be nice to have some other products that kind of complement the sauces as well.
Totally. Can you tell me a little bit about your background and how the idea for this company came about?
Well, I was doing a completely different business back in like 2017. I was in the parts and motorcycle business, and I was just going to China for meeting, for business for my other, for the motorcycle stuff. And, I'd go to these trade shows, and There was like a Shanghai Food and Wine Expo there in Shanghai, kind of toward the end of my trip every time. And so I just started going to that and like literally just discovering how massive the food industry is. And it got me really excited and, you know, just, you know, go around looking at what the other people are doing and getting ideas rolling. And the background is like just like small time, like online e-commerce entrepreneur. We're selling, you know, for a very niche market. Motorcycle industry is like so niche, like 1% of people like have motorcycles, whereas the food industry is so massive and it's literally unlimited. So I kind of wanted to just get into the food business and the hot sauce. You know, just I'm a natural fan of hot sauces, and like I was kind of looking at the industry, and I just felt Africa was very underrepresented, and have some family in Africa, and one of our founders, Arthur, is living in South Africa right now, so. Wanted to bring something from like Africa and represent like the African market. You know, we don't have enough products here from Africa, I think. And it's so poor there, and there's so many like different like struggles and stuff. And I feel like there's interesting foods and concepts and flavors and stuff that Africa has to offer, and that's not represented here on the shelves in the mainstream. You know, you can get it in specialty shops, but like if you go to, you know, a big, you know, retail store that you usually go to, it's not going to be there. So we wanted to bring like a mainstream market product on the shelves. And I think that's my goal, is like to see more African products and different, you know, different things that you buy every day for your groceries. We don't want to just be like a niche hot sauce manufacturer. We want to introduce more African stuff to the US market. And, you know, by buying it, you'll support wildlife conservation. So that's the whole kind of brand idea. Whereas like, you know, there's so many charities and donations people like ask for, like, like, hey, donate to this, donate to this. But I think that like mixture of business and doing like something good too, and combining it is like more than like a 1+1. You know, it's like, I think it like kind of builds off of each other, and some people really want to help. Some people don't really care, but like they love the product. And I mean, eventually you want to create a product that just people love, and they'll naturally kind of support the mission that the company supports and stuff, whether they care about it or not.
Yeah. So, whether people find you via their love of hot sauce or their want to help do good, they can still find you. So yeah, that's great. So how many years have you been in the industry now?
Well, I started kind of doing research for everything in, like 2018, toward the late 2018. And so I went to Africa first time in 2017. And then I came back again, 2018. And then I just kind of like spent some time there. I went to different factories and kind of learned like the industry a bit. And we launched, actually we had a Kickstarter. We raised like 50,000, 50 something thousand for the launch. And I want to give shout out to all my Kickstarter people, because like, I feel like the people that, like, you know, put up the money and buy a product that hasn't even launched yet, like those guys are, like those guys are really great, and like they're part of the reason where, you know, new brands come about and stuff. There's other launches on Kickstarter, but so we launched that on Kickstarter officially. We shipped in March or in the summer. We had like a dual rollout of, we shipped the product probably in May of 21. So like just about a year and a half. And actually SFA last year was our first food show. So yeah, this is our second SFA show, and I think it's really great.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Now the flavors that you're using in your sauces and your products, they're definitely not your typical flavors that you would experience here growing up. Did your parents encourage you to try new foods? Where did your love of foods really come from?
I wouldn't say my parents encouraged us to try new foods. We're like, I was born in former Soviet Union, so we immigrated here when I was seven. So we ate my mom's cooking basically until like I was in high school and stuff. And I think, I mean, it's really, I mean, she's a great cook, and I enjoy her food still. Like, going back for Thanksgiving, it's the best. But I wouldn't say at all, like, they encouraged us. Like, I think trying new foods and stuff, like, comes from traveling, which I enjoy, and, mm-hmm. like, seeing what other people are eating and how they're eating. And even going to, like, food shows, I think it's, like, such a great way to see what, you know, other people in other countries are doing, get ideas and stuff. And so I think the love of, I think it's more like, I don't know if it's the love of food. I do love hot sauce, but it's more like, I don't know.
Curiosity.
Yeah, curiosity and seeing if this idea will work, to be honest. Like, mm-hmm. I had a goal in mind, like, I'll spend, you know, this amount of money and launch the business and see how it goes. Because me and my team, none of us are from the food industry. So we were kind of figuring it out as it goes, and, like, asking people and just putting two and two together and, like, kind of just trying different stuff and, you know, putting a food kind of brand together. And I think it's been really fun, and it's been kind of been challenging, especially, like, launching during COVID and, like, having, like, factories closed down and delays, mm-hmm. and the whole logistical process. So that delayed us for probably like 6 months.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about some of the obstacles that you faced when bringing your brand to market. Can you speak a little more to that?
So we made our own bottles, and that was kind of a challenge. Like, most hot sauce companies, they'll just, like, buy their bottle from, you know, and that's why they all look the same. Mm-hmm. We wanted to, like, do something that when somebody looks at it on the shelf, it's going to pop out at them. So we had to, like, redesign the concept of, I wanted a bottle that's a little bit bigger, has a little bit wider, and has a little bit more real estate, mm-hmm. and to put, like, a portrait of an animal on it from Africa. So, like, when you look at our bottle of sauce, you'll immediately think of Africa. And that was kind of the idea, is we wanted to people kind of remember Africa and you know, see a lion or something and kind of just pick it up because it's interesting, it's different, mm-hmm. and then kind of see about the company. And so the challenges were, like, we made our own bottle, we made the mold, the logistics with that during COVID, you know, factories being shut down, the delays, mm-hmm. Everything ending up costing more, like the shipping, for example, a container went from, like, you know, $3,000 to like $8,000, like, so just the cost and stuff and the cost overruns, I think, you know, especially when you're delayed, like, you'll, you know, you obviously need more funds, and mm-hmm. I think the logistical process was kind of a challenge, but it's kind of like, it's just part of it, like, just solving these problems, and, like, when you're trying to start something is kind of can be fun too.
Yeah, like the problem, like, solving,
just figuring part. Stuff out, like how to go from, like, making a label and you know, making sure all your FDA stuff is in order and all that stuff. So just, like, figuring all that stuff out. And, like, I have a small team that they kind of all, we all work together on it, and they're all remote. We have Katya, who's she's in Russia and kind of traveling. Mm. And then Kimberly is our sales lead. Katya's our project manager. Kimberly is our sales lead. She's out of New Zealand. She used to live in South Africa. And then we have Natasha, who's in South Africa. And then we have our designer, who's in the Philippines, who kind of designs the labels and stuff. And some IT support and stuff, like, in Germany. So, and we all, like, meet whenever we need to on, like, Google Meets. And mm-hmm. Just kind of, I mean, try to be virtual and kind of outsource as much as you can for kind of the non needed stuff, and just focus on building the brand and getting the distribution. Mm-hmm. So
that's so cool. It's like a global effort.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would do differently if you could start over with this whole process?
That's a tough question, because I feel like, I don't know if I would, like, how I could simplify it, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's good being on the ground and stuff. And, like, I was last in South Africa before we launched the product. So, like, I had to kind of coordinate the launch you know, not even being at the factory a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. What I'd do different, I would use different, like if I can go back and know what I know now, mm-hmm. We would use different caps for our bottles, honestly, like just the logistical stuff, like because we had to go through so many reiterations of caps. They're different. They wanted to have a colorful cap that kind of pops on, so we're kind of focusing on the product, and then just like, you know, about the caps, like they're not perfect for all the sauces, and so mm-hmm. we had to redesign the bottle again. We had to make kind of some small modifications and then redo the caps, and so we just like trial and error and stuff, like you use the wrong material or something, and then you basically have to redo it, and like the cost overruns on that. So but it's kind of like, I think, you know, the product should get better over time too, and you like your packaging should get more tight and everything, and that, mm-hmm. I think that happens over time, but I guess not knowing certain things and having to redo it, and just it's costly.
Yeah.
But what would I do differently? I don't know, because our goal was to, you know, launch this product and start going to food shows and getting it out there. And we had to, you know, since COVID, like all the food shows were basically canceled, and we were actually going to the New York one. That was going to be mm-hmm. our first one, and it canceled kind of last minute. Yeah. So like having to transition to like a B2B model to get out there and get recognized. So launching on Amazon and Walmart.com and our website, kind of getting that more like focusing on that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that could have been avoided, because it was just like circumstance what happened. But no, I don't think I would do much different. I would just probably, like, I wish I just knew more things that you just kind of learn along the way when you're launching for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. What was the biggest surprise about getting involved in this food trade, in specialty food? Was there anything that struck you as a surprise?
You know, yeah, kind of like, you know, when you look at the food industry and you're kind of like, and you're buying stuff at the grocery store, and I don't know, most of the time you imagine it's like a big company, or like you kind of like just the people behind it. I think it's really interesting. A lot of these are like literally like two people brands and stuff, like mm-hmm. husband, wife making honey or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of like businesses that they started and their passion and stuff. But just, I don't know, it's like, I mean, like just kind of getting to know like the people around you in the booth and stuff, and kind of like what they're doing and stuff. I don't know, kind of you see the personal side of it, and it's like separate from the brand, mm-hmm. but also their love for the brands, you know, they really care about trying to, you know, it's like their baby and stuff. And so it's like, I don't know if that's surprising, but it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of cool to kind of observe.
Yeah. No, it's so nice how the brands are kind of humanized, and you kind of become a fan of all of the brands in general, just because you know that people are so invested and they care so much.
Yeah. And you kind of like, you know, like it's a struggle and stuff sometimes, especially if you're small and kind of like, mm-hmm. so, and it's fun to see like their passion and stuff for their brand.
Yeah. So going back to flavors and different kinds of products, where do you find inspiration for the new flavors and the products?
I think honestly at food shows, it's like the best place to actually get ideas and see what people are doing, kind of what the trends are. Mm-hmm. Like just ideas about how creative people are with packaging and stuff like that. And so I think that's kind of the inspiration, seeing other people, kind of what they're doing, and kind of like, you know, you take some ideas from here and from here, and then you kind of just observe the market and you see kind of where it will be at, or what people want, and kind of try to figure out if, you know, your idea is going to be what they actually want and stuff. And mm-hmm. So I think the inspiration is just like the process, honestly, to see kind of how it's done and like figuring out the industry and stuff. Like I would like to be in this industry for a while and mm-hmm. You know, bring other products to market and stuff. And so it's the kind of like the big leagues, I think, of like, you know, doing business, I think. And it's fun. Like, I think it'd be fun to actually see your product that you created and that people made and like so far away being consumed by, you know, people going to like their Kroger's or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think with the Emerging Leader Award that you won the other night, you're definitely going to be in the industry for a while if you want to be.
Yeah.
And then my final question before we do our last segment is, what do you want people to know about African Dream Foods that they may not already know?
Well, like during the leadership award, I wish I plugged like our hashtag send hot sauce.
That's great.
So yeah, send hot sauce. And if you use that as a coupon code, you'll get 15% off.
So maybe we'll use that as the title of this episode.
That'd be great. Yeah. Like our whole idea was to kind of get people to like support an industry and also introduce other people to these flavors. Because like we're not in big box stores. We're actually in Sprouts. Shout out to Sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure we'll get there. But I wanted to get people to give these hot sauces to their friends. And like the product's very giftable. Like it's something you can take to like a dinner party, or you can bring a chef's bottle to a dinner party instead of like a mm-hmm. bottle of wine. And it gets the conversation going if you're eating food. And so like we were kind of focusing on the send hot sauce hashtag that they can tag their friend or whatever and just like, you know, buy a product and send it to their friend, and then their friend can like tag somebody else and mm-hmm. And do it. So it's really made for sharing, I guess, the what I would say, like the sauces are made for sharing and for, you know, conversation and for enjoying it with the food.
Yeah, great. So we're almost out of time, but before you go, we'd like you to participate in our final segment, Take five questions for our guest. First, we're going to pause for a break.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2 Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome back. I'm Megan Rooney of SFA, speaking with David Schmunk of African Dream Foods. Let's jump into 5 questions for our final segment, Take 5. Question 1, what is your favorite thing about the specialty food industry?
Food shows.
Great. 2, what is the one thing that SFA has made easier for you as a specialty food business owner?
You know, I think SFA has been really great in like kind of, I mean, they put us on their website. You know, if you're an SFA member, you have, you know, kind of, it's a very searchable thing. You know, once your product's in SFA, then, you know, it comes up on search, like when people are trying to find it, I guess, like helping us get discovered.
Yeah. Kind of can help legitimize a brand too.
Yeah, exactly.
3, if you weren't running a business, what would you be doing?
I feel like I always have to kind of do run a business, like, or it's kind of like boring, you know, like, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, if I didn't have to run a business, I feel like even when I'm old, I'm probably still going to be trying to do something just because it's fun. But I'd probably be skiing or surfing.
Nice. Four, what's one piece of advice you'd give a new food business?
I would say, like, be realistic with, like, expectations and don't expect it to be really fast. I feel like I thought that we would grow way faster. Just, you know, it takes time to get into these stores. Like, they have a review period and they'll consider the brand. Sometimes they'll see you at the food show and, you know, they'll kind of like get the conversation started, but they're kind of just feeling you out. And, you know, so keep going to food shows and just getting out there and like, you know, try to get the brand out there as much as possible. But don't expect it to be like a super fast process. Like, it takes time. Yeah. And good things take time, I think.
Totally. And then our final question, how do you define specialty food?
I guess food that's not that mainstream yet. That's trying to make it, you know, like startup brands that are trying to make it. And some of them have made it or like are in the process of being made, I guess.
I like that. That's great. David, thanks again for speaking with me today. Before we go, please tell everyone where they can find you.
You guys can find us at Sprouts in California and soon at, in all of the Sprouts in the U.S. And Amazon and our website, AfricanDreamFoods.com.
Great. You can find out more about this show at specialtyfood.com and heritageradionetwork.org. And remember to follow wherever you get your podcasts. Come back often to get to know the people who are shaping the future of food. And if you are in the food industry yourself, consider becoming a member of SFA by visiting our membership section on specialtyfood.com. Special thanks to African Dream Foods and to Heritage Radio Network, the world's pioneer food radio station. This is Spill and Dish, a Specialty Food Association podcast.
Spill and Dish, a Specialty Food Association podcast, is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.